I want to share an awesome witness the Lord gave us the other day. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for drawing us unto you, Lord, for perfecting us for your kingdom's work, Lord. Thank you for giving us a part, Lord, and in bringing souls into the kingdom. Thank you, Father, for opening the doors for a great revival and saving many, Lord, that otherwise would perish. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace towards us, Lord. Thank you for your called and chosen, Father. Bring them in. Thank you so much, Father. Amen. Well, the Lord gave us a pretty neat parable here I'd like to tell you about. And on the morning of August the 10th, since the Lord said in Luke 10 and 19, "Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you," I felt to go straight to the source of the faction war against us and commanded Satan to cease his war against us. We know that what we bind on earth is bound in heaven. And then I asked that in our morning prayer meeting, the verses received would confirm this ultimate victory over the faction, and indeed they did, one right after another. It was amazing. I didn't say anything to the brethren. I mean, they all got their own things, and I didn't say a word, and it all came out beautifully. And so I repeated my command to Satan in that meeting so that the brethren would agree with me, and they did. And after the evening prayer meeting, I began to meditate on a sign that was given to us there. A brilliant double rainbow across the sky from one side of the house to the other. We saw it outside the picture window as we were worshiping the Lord. It was so spectacular that everyone jumped up and ran outside, and others were just staring out the window. It was amazing. Even the colors, when they came down to the ground, they colored the trees. I'd never seen that before. I've seen pretty nice rainbows, but this one was, like I said, spectacular, and it was a double rainbow, one on top of the other. And I stood there looking out the window at it, and I'm asking the Lord, "Okay, Lord, what's this all about, you know?" It was just obviously a sign from God. And what came to me that as a parable for us was, before the covenant of the rainbow, God sent a flood of destruction to destroy all flesh. Listen to me, okay? Before the rainbow, he sent a flood of destruction to destroy all flesh. Now, God was speaking to me what he was speaking to us in this parable, right? In Genesis 6 and 17, "And I, behold, do bring the flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh." And I believe he was talking about our flesh, you know, like a crucifixion, like a baptism, right? "To destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, everything that is in the earth," which is flesh, you know, God made Adam from the earth, flesh, right, "shall die." And praise God, that's exactly what Jesus said. If you don't lose your life, you won't gain your life. You're losing your lower from below life to your higher, to gain your higher heavenly life, right? And in the Word, the rainbow marked the end of the flood to destroy all flesh, which I believe we have been enduring. Sort of a baptism unto death of self in the Red Sea before going into the wilderness tribulation. Just like baptism is a sign to be held to by faith until it comes to pass, so was this rainbow. And God made the covenant of the rainbow, saying in Genesis 9 and 11, "I will establish my covenant with you Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood. So is an end of the flood, right? Neither shall there any more be a flood to destroy the earth, which is the flesh. And in this case, I believe it's the flesh of the bride. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I will make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant. So obviously he's remembering his covenant when we see the rainbow, right? Which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. So he remembers his rainbow, he remembers his covenant, etc. And I believe we're to believe that we have received the end of the flood of destruction to eradicate our flesh. And I think, of course, that we should rejoice in our deliverance from the faction to resurrection life in Christ. You know, this has all been planned out in the Bible. We've seen it from the dragon seeking to devour the man-child and the woman all through the rest of the Bible, back to the beginning. We've seen this. It was planned long, long ago to sanctify his bride. And then, by the way, it's coming again. And except this time it is to sanctify the woman in the wilderness. So anyway, asking for a word, I said, Lord, am I seeing this correctly? You know, I felt like the Lord was speaking all this to me, but I just wanted to be sure. And he gave me Proverbs 23:23 and 24. And you'll notice the two witnesses of 23, which means death. Two witnesses of death. And guess what? It was two rainbows. And also there are the words, truth, wisdom, instruction, and understanding, which I would say is, yes, you heard correctly. Okay, Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not, yea, wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child will have joy of him. Oh, glory be to God. And that's exactly what the Lord is doing. And even his fathers in the earth are going to greatly rejoice in the wise children that come forth, right? So I asked for another word for this and got Jeremiah 30:16 on down. And it says, therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured. Well, this is God's history throughout the Bible. He uses the wicked to bring the righteous to their cross. When he's through crucifying the righteous, he destroys the wicked. Jeremiah 30:16, therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that despoil thee shall be a spoil. And all that prey on thee will I give for a prey. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, says the Lord. Because they have called thee an outcast, saying, it is Zion whom no man seeketh after. And another brother also received this exact same text when he asked, so expect healing from all wounds received during this battle. We know that many out there have been fighting this battle too, and winning. Praise be to God. And so speak healing to those in need, right? And verse 18, continuing the text here, says, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will turn again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have compassion on his dwelling places. And the city shall be builded upon its own hill. Of course, you know the Lord is coming to build this city, right? And its temple. But not a physical city or a physical temple. The Jews might build a temple, but it's not a temple because the Lord won't inhabit it. He doesn't inhabit temples made with man's hands. The Bible clearly says that. So, and the city shall be builded upon its own hill, and the palace shall be inhabited after its own manner. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. It's going to be a day of rejoicing. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. And I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. So he's going to turn again the captivity of some who have been taken into captivity by the wicked. And praise God for that. We've been praying for that for a while. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. And their prince shall be of themselves, their ruler shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is he that hath boldness to approach unto me? Says the Lord. And you shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the tempest of the Lord, even his wrath, is gone forth, a sweeping tempest. It shall burst upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have executed, until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days you shall understand it. And so, brethren, let us obey the Lord and believe we have received and speak in accordance with our faith, right? You know, the rainbows were over the house that we were in as a strong encouragement to believe we have received. We were on the top of the mountain where in the scripture, of course, the presence of God is. The trees that were not supposed to be there, God blew away. And this has to do with claiming the victory in the baptism unto death that we have been going through. Claiming the victory over the faction war with witchcraft and slander and criticism which Satan had sent against us, and which the confirming verses were all about. That's what I asked. I asked the Lord, and I'll share some of those verses with you. I couldn't share them all in this hour. They were just one after another. And we have cast down the enemy's plots and schemes according to Joel chapter 2. We can expect revival and the outpouring. The song that we were singing when the rainbow appeared is "The Comforter Has Come." Awesome song. So let us praise God for the answer, because you know when Joel's northern army was defeated by the Lord, that's what came, the Comforter. Amen. When the Sennacherib scenario was defeated, that is what spiritually came. So any battle that comes, let us remember the victory is ours. And any persecution that comes, we need to remember that the victory is ours. And we've been warned of both, but in all the verses that we were given, we received the victory. Why? We believe we have received and see the end from the beginning. And don't forget too, you know, as I go on, I'm going to say this now so I don't forget it. Don't forget to fast and pray for the people on the coasts and the fault lines and the cities, for souls to be saved instead of swamped and swallowed. It looks like this tsunami is to come in the fall, but not in winter, according to the promise given to the Smiths that we shared with you last year, I believe it is. And fasting is to put the flesh down. Put down unbelief. Put down non-effectual prayers, etc. so we can hear from the Spirit of God, right? Let me share with you some of these texts. They're just encouraging. And I do believe we're going to see a manifestation of the man-child in the fall. And maybe Sunday I will share that with you. It was very encouraging to me. One is 2 Samuel 22. I'm going to read from 14 through 28. Listen to this. It sounds very similar to some of the dreams and visions we've had and words that we've received. The Lord thundered from heaven. Well, first of all, I'm going to back up. 22 and 1. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of all of his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. So that's what this is all about. That's a good text for somebody to get, right? The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them. That is the enemy who was arrayed against his people and against David. Lightning and discomfited them. Then the channels of the sea appeared. The foundations of the world were laid bare. Have you heard anything like about that coming? Yeah, I have too, quite a bit. By the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of his breath, of his nostrils. Does that sound like parting the Red Sea? Yeah. You think there's a parallel between parting America and parting the Red Sea? Anyway, verse 17. He sent from on high. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. Well, now the Lord's coming and taking somebody. And I would say it represents David because he's the one speaking. He was caught up to the throne, wasn't he? And that was after Saul died too, right? He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from them that hated me. For they were too mighty for me. They came upon me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. In other words, a lot of freedom. You know, when you got God's will in you, you desire to please Him, and you desire to do His will, and you got His understanding, that's a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands hath He recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His ordinances were before me, and as for His statutes, I did not depart from them. I was also perfect toward Him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in His eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With the perfect man thou wilt show thyself perfect. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the perverse thou wilt show thyself froward. And the afflicted people thou wilt save, but thine eyes are upon the haughty, that thou mayest bring them down. Well, amen. That is our God. He loves justice. But sometimes people think He's not looking, or He won't do anything, as also says in Psalms, by the way. I'm going to 2 Chronicles 13, and I'm just going to read one verse so you can understand the text. In 12 and 16, it says, Rehoboam, who was the son of David, slept with his fathers and was buried in the city of David. And Abijah, which means my father is Yahweh, his son reigned in his stead. So his man-child reigned in his stead. And he was being attacked by the enemy. And so in verse 4, and Abijah stood up upon Mount Zemaram, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, and said, Hear me, O Jeroboam. Now you remember Jeroboam. Jeroboam is the one who factioned Israel, or Ephraim, away from the son of David. And so Jeroboam, he represents that all through the scriptures as a factious person. Hear me, O Jeroboam, and all Israel. Ought you not to know that the Lord, the God of Israel, gave the kingdom over Israel to David forever, even to him and to his sons, by a covenant of salt? Yet Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, the servant of Solomon, the son of David, rose up and rebelled against his Lord. And there were gathered unto him worthless men, base fellows, that strengthened themselves against Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, when Rehoboam was young and tender-hearted and could not withstand them. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord in the hand of the sons of David. And you are a great multitude, and there are with you the golden calves, which Jeroboam made you for gods. Oh, this all really fits good. Have you not driven out the priests of the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites, and made you priests after the manner of the peoples of the lands? So that whomsoever cometh to consecrate himself with a young bullock and seven rams, the same may be a priest of them that are no gods. But as for us, the Lord is our God, and we have not forsaken him. And we have priests ministering unto the Lord, the sons of Aaron, and the Levites in their work. And they burn unto the Lord every morning and every evening burnt offerings and sweet incense, prayers unto the true God, right? The showbread also set they in order upon the pure table, and the candlestick of gold, with the lamps thereof, to burn every evening. For we keep the charge of the Lord our God. But you have forsaken him, and behold, God is with us at our head, and his priests with the trumpets of alarm to sound an alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight you not against the Lord, the God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. But Jeroboam, the factious leadership, caused an ambushment to come about behind them. So they were before Judah, and the ambushment was behind them. And when Judah looked back, behold, the battle was before and behind them. And they cried unto the Lord, and the priests sounded with the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout. And as the men of Judah shouted, it came to pass that God smote Jeroboam and all Israel before Abijah, the man-child, and Judah. And the children of Israel fled before Judah, and God delivered them into their hand. And Abijah and his people slew them with a great slaughter. So there fell down slain of Israel 500,000 chosen men. Thus the children of Israel were brought under at that time, and the children of Judah prevailed, because they relied upon the Lord, the God of their fathers. And Abijah pursued after Jeroboam and took cities from him, Bethel with the towns thereof, and Jeshanah with the towns thereof, and Ephron with the towns thereof. Neither did Jeroboam recover strength again in the days of Abijah, and the Lord smote him, and he died. And we got this one, Psalm 83. I'm going to read 1 through 18. And of course, you know, when people are asking the Lord for a text by faith at random, many times they put their finger down in the middle of one of these chapters and the Lord just tells them it's the whole chapter, but the verse is significant too. Psalm 83 and 1, O God, keep not thou silence, hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God, for lo, thine enemies make a tumult. And they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They take crafty counsel against thy people, and consult together against thy hidden ones. They have said, Come, and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent, against thee do they make a covenant. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites. Well, now both of these represent the faction, obviously, because they hated their brother, they fought against their brother, they were of the seed of Abraham, but they lost their birthright, right? Moab and the Hagarines. Hagar was those that go back under the law, by the way. A lot of factious people go back under the law as soon as they separate from us. They're sons of the bondmaid, Hagar. Not sons of the free woman, according to the Bible. Gebal and Ammon and Amalek. Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also is joined with them. They have helped the children of Lot. Do thou unto them as unto Midian, and as to Sisera, as to Jabin at the river Kishon, who perished at Endor, who became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and Zeeb. You'll find these all enemies of God's people that fought against them and lost. Yea, all their princes like Zeba and Zalmunna, who said, let us take to ourselves in possession the habitations of God, which fits very well. O my God, make them like the whirling dust, as stubble before the wind, as the fire that burneth the forest, and as the flame that setteth the mountains on fire. So pursue them with thy tempest, and terrify them with thy storm. Fill their faces with confusion, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be put to shame and dismayed forever. Let them be confounded and perish, that they may know that thou alone, whose name is the Lord, art the Most High over all the earth. And Jeremiah 17 and verse 18, which says, let them be put to shame that persecute me, but let not me be put to shame. Let them be dismayed, but let not me be dismayed. Bring upon them the days of evil, and destroy them with double destruction. Sounds kind of like that rainbow, doesn't it? And Amos chapter 9, verse 5 on down, it says, for the Lord of hosts is he that toucheth the land, and it melteth, and all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like the river, or completely like the river, and shall sink again like the river of Egypt. It is he that buildeth his chambers in the heavens, and hath founded his vault upon the earth. He that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. Sounds similar again, doesn't it? The Lord is his name. Are ye not as the children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel, says the Lord? Have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistines from Kaphtor, and the Syrians from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the Lord are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, save that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, says the Lord. He will have a remnant there. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all the nations, like as grain is sifted in a sieve. Yet shall not the least kernel fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, who say the evil shall not overtake nor meet us. Well, of course they say that, and they believe that too, but it's just not so. In that day I will raise up, sounds like a resurrection, don't it? And it's a resurrection of the man-child David's at an earthquake. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it, as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom. You remember how David conquered Edom and put troops in Edom. That they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations that are called by my name, says the Lord that doeth this. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed. And the mountains shall drop down sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. And I will bring back the captivity of my people, Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, and drink the wine thereof, and they shall also make gardens, and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be plucked up out of their land, which I have given them, says the Lord thy God. A happy ending, right? Which we all desire greatly, and we will see, too. A happy ending. And that's the one we've prayed for, we're believing for. And let's look at Psalm 71, maybe 10 through 16 or so. For mine enemies speak concerning me, and they that watch for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Pursue and take him, for there is none to deliver. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. Let them be put to shame and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually, and I will praise thee yet more and more. My mouth shall tell of thy righteousness and of thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. And I will come with the mighty acts of the Lord, and I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Amen. Another victory. And Psalm 89 and 19 through 24. Thou spakest in vision to thy saints, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the temple. You know, I asked the Lord one time, Lord, when the man-child shows up, how are the people going to know who to go to? And this is what he gave me. Then thou spakest in vision to thy saints, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. He's giving dreams and visions to people. And he's going to do that yet more. When they get delivered, he's going to give dreams and visions to them, to show them. I found David, my servant, with my holy oil, and I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. My arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact from him, or take or steal from him, right? Nor the son of wickedness afflict him. So be careful of this David after this anointing comes, you thieves out there, because you're in trouble. Nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his adversaries before him, and smite them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my loving kindness shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. Which means his strength, his power, his weapon, etc. Ain't God good? And also Nehemiah. I'm going to start in chapter 4 and verse 15. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, that is, their plots and their schemes, We get dreams and visions about this all the time, even with the people that are doing it. And they don't know that we know what they're doing, but we do. And it happens all the time. And recently, you know, I ain't going to name anybody right now. Three of the latest factious people were, four of them actually, were all gathered together to plot and scheme against us, and we saw it. God had brought their counsel to naught. See, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone to his work. What are they trying to do? They're trying to stop the building of the wall. They don't want the people to be sanctified. That's what the wall does. It separates them from the world and protects them from the enemy. Satan is angry. He don't like what we do. You know how I used to could tell when somebody fell into the false revival? They would immediately hate me. Now, I was pretty glad about that, for one thing, and not in another way, but that the devil knows me and he hates me and he don't like what I do. And then when the faction came along, the exact same thing happened. The exact same thing. I can tell immediately when this happens. So when the Lord brings their counsel to naught, obviously we can go back to the work that the Lord has called us to do. Building the wall, building the temple, building the city. And it came to pass from that time forth that half of my servants wrought in the work, and half of them held the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the coats of mail. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They that builded the wall, and they that bare burdens, laded themselves, every one, with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other his weapon. Yep, had to constantly be on guard, because the wicked was constantly trying to take them out. And the builders, every one, had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the peoples, the work is great and large, and we're separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place soever you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye hither to us, and our God will fight for us. Amen. And he does. And so we wrought in the work, and half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning until the stars appear. Likewise, at the same time, said I unto the people, let every one with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard unto us, and may labor in the day. So in the bride, stay in the bride. It's a place of safety, right? The people that are being rejected from the bride for their sins, they are being rejected from a place of safety. It says they stayed in Jerusalem. It was a place of safety, right? So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard that followed me, none of us put off our clothes. Everyone went with his weapons to the water. They were ready to war all the time, because the enemy was there all the time, right? Okay, I'm going to share 2 Samuel 10, 9 through 14. And by the way, while I was looking at this, the thought came into my mind. Now, where was that verse where David brought the Edomites under? And because I wasn't even thinking about where it was or where I was, and I looked down and I saw this right across the page. And David gat him a name when he returned from smiting the Syrians in the Valley of Salt, which is the story I'm getting ready to read. Even 18,000 men, and he got garrisons in Edom throughout all Edom. That was what I was asking the Lord for, and looked down, it was right there. And put he garrisons And all the Edomites became servants to David, and the Lord gave victory to David whithersoever he went. And David reigned over Israel, and David executed justice and righteousness unto all his people. Well, that's, of course, talking about the man-child. You know, after Saul died, he brought the Edomites, those haters of God's true people, those who claim to be God's true people, but haters of them, and he brought them under. And let's see, I was going to read to you 9 through 14. Let me read that. Now when Joab saw that the battle was set against him, before and behind, he chose of all the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he committed unto the hand of Abishai, his brother. And he put them in array against the children of Ammon. And he said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. Be of good courage, and let us play the man for our people, and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth him good. So Joab and the people that were with him drew nigh unto the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, they likewise fled before Abishai, and entered into the city. Then Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. I think I'm going to read the rest of this. It just feels like it needs to be done here. And when the Syrians saw that they were put to the worse before Israel, they gathered themselves together. And Hadarezer sent and brought out the Syrians that were beyond the river. So they were gathering all the Canaanites to come and fight, right? And they came to Halem with Shobach, the captain of the host of Hadarezer, at their head. And it was told David, and he gathered all Israel together, passed over the Jordan, and came to Halem. Jordan representing death and resurrection, right? And the Syrians set themselves in array against David and fought with him. And the Syrians fled before Israel. And David slew of the Syrians the men of 700 chariots and 40,000 horsemen, and smote Shobach, the captain of their host, so that he died there. And when all the kings that were servants to Hadarezer saw that they were put to the worse before Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon any more. Wow. Now, how can you get these texts like that one right after another, huh? And then we got Joel 2. And I'm going to start reading in I'm going to start reading in 12. That's actually the verse he got. Yet even now, says the Lord, turn ye unto me with all of your heart, and with fasting and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth whether he will not turn and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even a meal offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the assembly. Assemble the old men. Gather the children and those that suck the breasts. And let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. And let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord. Give not thy heritage to reproach, that the nation should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then was the Lord jealous for his land, and had pity on his people. And the Lord answered and said unto his people, Behold, I will send you grain, and new wine, and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive it into a land barren and desolate. Its forefront into the eastern sea, and its hinder part into the western sea. And its stench shall come up, and its ill savor shall come up, because it hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord hath done great things. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring. For the tree beareth its fruit, the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he giveth you the former rain in just measure. And he causes to come down for you the rain, the former rain, and the latter rain in the first. And the door shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with new wine and oil, and I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar, and the palmworm, this great army which I sent among you. And this to us is the faction. I mean, that's very clear to us. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and shall praise the name of the Lord your God, who hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be put to shame. You shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and there is none else, and my people shall never be put to shame. Well, need to listen to that, because that's definitely what's going to happen. His people will never be put to shame. Oh, glory be to God. Okay, I'm going to read Isaiah 66, and let's see, 12. For thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river. Amen. And it's talking about Zion, the bride, the one he spared in Joel there. The bride is not going to be conquered. You read the book of Esther, you see that. She's in the king's house and has the king's authority and conquers the beast, right? Behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations shall as like an overflowing stream. And you shall suck thereof, and you shall be borne upon the side, and shall be dandled upon the knees. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. And you shall be comforted in Jerusalem, and you shall see it, and your heart shall rejoice. There's that in Jerusalem again, right? Yes, the people in Jerusalem will be comforted and blessed and prospered. And you shall see it, and your heart shall rejoice. And your bones shall flourish like the tender grass, and the hand of the Lord shall be known towards his servants, and he will have indignation against his enemies. For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and his chariots shall be like the whirlwind, to render his anger with fierceness, and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire will the Lord execute judgment, and by his sword upon all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Amen. And one more that I received, I'm going to share. Ezekiel 25 on down. And I will make with them a covenant of peace. Kind of like the rainbow. And will cause evil beasts to cease out of the land. Glory be to God. He's doing that. They shall dwell securely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places around about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in its season. There shall be showers of blessing. And of the tree of the field shall yield its fruit. The earth shall yield its increase. They shall be secure in their land. They shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bars of their yoke and have delivered them out of the hand of those that made bondmen of them. They shall no more be a prey to the nations, neither shall the beasts of the earth devour them, but they shall dwell securely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up unto them a plantation for renown, and they shall be no more consumed with famine in the land, neither bear the shame of the nations any more. And they shall know that I, the Lord, their God, am with them, that they, the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord. And ye are my sheep, the sheep of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, says the Lord. And then, of course, the next chapter is all about the destruction of Edom. And, you know, this chapter, of course, he shows his anger against the shepherds who have plundered his flock, scattered his flock, which is the very meaning of faction, scattered his flock, and they were no shepherds. And the Lord decided he was going to shepherd his flock personally. And then in this chapter he raised up David. That's talking about the man-child. And David brought peace to the people, and also chapter 35 is all about him conquering the Edomites. Great destruction there to the Edomites. So we had a wonderful revelation today, which I'm not going to tell you about because I don't have time to start on it. But it's all about the coming of the Lord in the fall, the budding in the fall. Very interesting. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise you. We thank you for the victory. We celebrate it ahead of time, Lord. You always lead us in triumph, which is a celebration of the victory before it comes. We triumph, Lord, over our enemies today. All the words you've given to us, we give praise unto you and thanks unto you for the victory, Lord. You are Almighty God. No one can restrain you. We give praise unto you, Father. And, Lord, we praise you to keep our eyes on that rainbow, Lord. And just like at our baptism, we believe that the work is being done. And it's obvious to us the work is being done. That there is a loving, caring people here full of the fruit of Jesus Christ. And we're so happy for that. And also for those out there that are going to be joining us soon that you have raised up, Lord, into your bride. And even more, and multitudes too that are coming that are not in the bride, but will be wanting to be trained and raised up in the Word of God, which these people have hated so much, the Word of God.